Good morning. I'm busy with a series concerning the goodness of God, and the Lord is very good. So a few weeks ago, the Lord, we were praying, and I just felt God saying that if the goodness of God is revealed to the world, then masses of people will run to us or to Him. When they see His goodness, they will run to Him and not away from Him. And I don't know, I'm sure you know some people, I know some people, but it just seems as if they really think it's a bad idea to run to God. And so they're always running the other way. And it's just because they're not seeing it. They're confused. They're not seeing how good He is. You know, I remember when I was going to church from I was small, but I didn't have a relationship with God. And looking back, I can't believe I was so blind. I can't believe I didn't see how good He is. And then when you taste and see that the Lord is good, I mean, if you really taste, what wouldn't we give for Him to know Him? I'm just so thankful for everything God has done. I'm so thankful for who He is. And it's like Moses and King David in the Psalms. They're saying, God, I just want to know You. I want to know You. It's a good question to ask us sometimes. If you had to choose, for a believer, if you have to choose Jesus, losing everything but having Jesus, compared to having everything but not having Him. Should be a quick answer. Give me Jesus. That's all I want. Oh, the peace that He gives, the joy that He gives, the blessing that He gives to us. It's just amazing. Our God is good. And He's more good than you can imagine. Can you say more good? More good, better, best. But every good thing comes from above. James 1, verse 17. And so I want to share a bit about the lion and the lamb. I want to share a bit about the furious love of God. You see, but I first just want to share this verse. James 1, 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good thing in your life comes from God, directly or indirectly. Every good thing comes from Him. The breath in your lungs comes from Him. And this verse says it all comes from above, comes down from the Father of lights, our God, who is only good. He is light. There is no darkness in Him, and with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He doesn't change. He doesn't change. It's so beautiful what Rayvon shared this morning. Yeah, it's so easy that when we make a mistake, or when we sin, or when something goes wrong, then immediately we think, now God has changed. He is now angry. He is now no longer good. And it happens so easy to us. And so you and I need a revelation, a true revelation that God is good. It will transform you. It will change the way you and I live when you know that He is good. How can you and I trust a God that isn't good? How can we lay down our lives for a God that isn't good? You can't. You can't trust somebody that isn't really good. You can't trust Him with your life. So if you and I know that He's good, then we can step out. We can have faith. Faith. We can have faith. We can step out. We can live differently. I want to encourage you this week, this holiday time, to just ponder, what good things has God given to you this year? How many things can you be thankful for? I'm thankful for the aircon. But what about your wife, your child, family, friends, health, food, job, sunshine? Oh, we hope for sunshine in December. What about a car? Thank you, Jesus. I'm driving a car. All the fun, all the joy, all the peace, that your name is written in the book of life. There's so much to be thankful for. And it all comes from our good God. So take time out this holiday and remind yourself. You know, the last day or so, I've just been so thankful. Just so thankful for everything I have. I'm just holding my little boy, Papa's Lifio. Just remind myself again, this is a gift from above. You know, but sometimes we get so busy that we don't actually see what God has blessed us with, that we don't take time to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God, for everything. And so about 2 weeks ago, it was this past Saturday, I was in Cape Town and we had a Watchman convocation. It was like a weekend of prayer. It was quite intense. And the one morning I was praying and then God showed me something. I'll probably be ministering on it in the new year as well. But what I saw was, I don't know if anybody saw the movie Twister. It's quite old now. But it's these tornadoes, this movie about tornadoes. And then right at the end of the movie, there's this massive tornado. I mean, it's like this thing is like a kilometer wide. I mean, it's huge. And it just turns. And wherever it goes, it just brings destruction. It's quite scary. I saw this while I was praying. I saw like a massive tornado. And I felt God saying that this is a tornado of my presence. And I saw like an eagle. This is quite deep. I'll get into it in the new year. But I saw an eagle, and we've been talking about eagles, and eagle representing the prophetic. Now, I saw an eagle diving from above to the ground. And as the eagle was diving, it brought an atmospheric shift, sort of. And then this tornado started to go. And what it means for me is the prophetic word. And if you read, I'm reading a book about revivals as well. But if you look at history, whenever there's a massive revival happening, it normally is around an aspect of God, of who He is. It's like we know it, but we didn't really understand it. And so God, by His Spirit, by the prophetic word, He comes and He restores revelation knowledge to us of who God really is. Like Martin Luther, it was only saved by faith alone, not by works. That was a revelation brought back to the church in the Reformation, and it transformed at least the Western world and church. And so when God restores an aspect of who He is to us, it opens the door for this tornado of His presence, the fullness of His presence that's like a revival. And it also represents His furious love. And I really feel God is speaking to me about His goodness. That if you and I understand how good He is and how much He loves us, it will not just transform us, it will transform our community. And so it's something the Spirit of God must reveal to us. So this tornado represents God's amazing love. It causes hearts to melt. It's just you can't resist that type of love. And at the same time, it's terrifying for darkness. It's terrifying for evil. I saw this tornado moving around like a big vacuum cleaner. It was like there was darkness all over the area, over the region, and this tornado was just sucking away all the darkness, all the evil. And so this is God's furious love. On the one hand, it is His amazing love. On the other hand, it is furious towards evil, towards darkness. It's like a mama bear over its cubs, over her cubs. Now, you don't want to mess with the cubs because you're going to experience the furious love of mama. because she loves her little one so much that she's going to take you apart, you know? And that's how God feels about you and me. That's how God feels about mankind. I'm not even talking about bad people out there. God feels the same way. That the way he feels about you and me, he feels the same as his kids. They just don't know it yet. They've not realized it yet. Drug dealers, the worst of the worst, they're just blind. They're just deceived. They're just taken captive. And there's a furious love of God that wants to arise to set people free. But it will start with you and me, a revelation of who he is, how good he is. So let's look at the lion and the lamb. Revelation chapter 5, verse 3. This is John the Apostle. He was caught up into heaven and he had the most phenomenal experiences. God was revealing to him the throne room. He was revealing to him things to come. He was showing him amazing things. And it says in verse 3, "And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll." There was a scroll in the hand of the Father. No one was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. It was like a hopeless situation. John knew the scroll need to be opened up. It's the will of God. It's the will of God for the nations. But nobody could open it up. Nobody could look into the will of God. And he wept. It's the plan of God for the nations. And then in verse 5, "But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals.'" Jesus is revealed here as a lion. And it says, this lion has prevailed. And this lion is worthy of what he has done. He is worthy of looking into the scroll, the will of God for the nations. But more than just worthy to look into it, he can remove the seals and he can execute. He has the power to execute the will of God over the nations. The lion, this is our God. Almighty. Powerful. But what qualified Jesus? What qualified him to become this lion of the tribe of Judah? His love. He was willing to lay down his life. And so he prevailed at the cross. And so God, he could become the one who is worthy. Then in verse 6, "And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain." Beautiful. "Stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Then he came. He took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne." So here God is revealed first as a lion and then as a lamb. The lion for me represents a holy fury towards all that is evil. And then the lamb represents a humble love. A humble love. A humble love. Jesus died as a lamb. But he rose as a lion. That so speaks to me. He died as a lamb, but he rose as a lion. And so this reveals to us who God is, but it also reveals to us the journey God is calling you and me to. Because he says, be conformed to the image of Christ. Become like Christ. So it's not just who he is, but he's saying, I want to make you the same. I want to make you like a lamb, and I want you to arise like a lion. But you cannot become a lion until you become the lamb. I've so been confronted with this week, speaking to some of my pastor friends as well. The whole thing of humble, humility, humble love. You know, it's hard to get hands on that. It's hard to get a grip on that. What does that mean? You know, how does it practically mean? How can we be that, Lord? How can we be the Lamb? But it said there the word Lamb or Arnion is the Greek word. It is in direct contrast to the beast. In Revelation, there's this beast that represents evil. The beast is savage, cruel, hostile, and destructive. By contradistinction, our Lord is a lamb. He is gentle. He's compassionate. He is loving. He is kind. He innocently suffered and died to atone for our sins. The lion and the lamb combine the two elements of his majesty and his meekness. And God has called you and me to represent him and to show that to the world. To become that lamb. You cannot become a lion unless you first become like a lamb. And it's beautiful. In that verse it says that I saw this lamb slain. And he says, and then this lamb had the seven horns. And then he says, the seven spirits of God was released over the earth. It speaks about the fullness of power that God has, that Jesus has. And then he releases the spirit of God over the earth. But it doesn't say that it was the lion that released it. It says it was the lamb that released the fullness of God. It was the lamb. This is the kingdom of God is upside down sometimes compared to the world. Sometimes you have to go down before you can go up. I shared this before, but there was a preacher that shared the story. He says he was in New York, and he and his wife, they were shopping, and then going. They need to get to the airport or something. And so he says they got to this lift, and the lift was there. They said, "Up, we need to go up." Up, and then the lift would come down and then just go past. It would actually stop with them, but then it would go down further, so they didn't go get up because it's going down. So they waited for it to come up again, and then it didn't stop when it came up, it just went on. And so they tried this a few times. Every time it comes, it stops, but then it goes down, and then it goes by again, and he couldn't figure it out. And the guy says, now, if it wasn't for his wife, he would probably still be standing there. So she said, let's ride the lift down and then go up with it. And so they did it, and it worked. But that's like the kingdom. You first have to go down before you can go up. You know, it's one thing to say God is wanting to bring his furious love, this tornado of his presence, but it's not going to come through arrogance and pride. It's going to come through humble love. That's going to release the presence of God over our lives. You know? But it's a hard one. Be humble. I don't know, Lord. How do we do that? How do we do humble? I think part of doing humble is just to realize I can't do anything without him. And everything that works, it's him. And everything that's good comes from him. I can't go a day without you, Lord. I give you glory. And then in Philippians 2, verse 8 to 11, it speaks of this humble, humble love. And being found in appearance as a man, this is Jesus, the Son of God, the King of the universe, became a man. He humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, say therefore. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Beautiful. Jesus first had to become a lamb before he could be exalted by the Father and become the lion. But he was highly exalted. He was highly exalted by God after he humbled himself. But how could Jesus do this? How could Jesus walk this road of sacrifice, of laying down his life? I mean, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was sweating blood and was saying, Father, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. But your will be done, not mine. I believe many of us will come to crossroads in our lives as well. And the only way that you will be able to go through with the path that God has set before you is if you know that he is good and this will turn out for his glory. If you know that you know that you know that he is good and he tells you to do something and you don't understand why. If you know he's good and you can trust him, you'll do it. You'll go through the valley of the shadow of death. You'll be willing to sacrifice. You'll be willing to walk the path. You'll be willing to humble yourself. You see, sometimes our biggest tests are with people. People who persecute us, people who say bad stuff about us, maybe somebody at work that's giving you grief, and then you know you must decide which way are you going, humble love, or are you hitting back? Are you taking measures into your own hands, or are you going to trust God to exalt? You see, as Christians, we are brought before this crossroads continuously. Am I going to lean on my own ability, or am I going to trust in the living God to bring this, to bring me through? Am I going to try and do this in my own strength, or am I going to humble myself and say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you? And for each of us, it will look different, different challenges. But we can so easily lean on self, and that leads to pride. That leads to pride when we lean on our own abilities. But humble love, you and I, we are called to emulate Christ, to become like him. Become a lamb, arise like a lion. And the result of this is that every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth. The lamb arises as a lion, every knee shall bow. Is the same way for us. Humble love neutralizes evil. Humble love neutralizes evil. You say there's somebody, maybe somebody's angry with you. Somebody's fighting against you. Now you can get angry back and fight back. You can have wholesale war. Or you can be humble, speak gently, nicely, lovingly, and you neutralize the anger. You neutralize the anger. God's ways aren't our ways. So what is humble love? Let me spell it out for you. A few suggestions that we can all ponder with all the time we're going to have over the holidays. Humble love. It's to forgive others when they don't deserve it. It's to forgive others when they don't deserve it and see how God will fight for you. That's family time. There's somebody that can probably freak you out more than anybody else in this world. It's family. I don't know, but my family, they can press my buttons. Whoa. Okay. So forgive others when they don't deserve it. Secondly, humbly serving people when nobody sees. That's humble love. You're serving not because of somebody who's going to see. You're just serving because you love them. You care for them. Guys, let's try and do some dishes this holidays. Come on. We can do it. Your wife will bless you. Another area of humble love, giving faithfully to God's cause. Sometimes it's humbling to give, especially when nobody knows, just God knows. And so you bless somebody with something, you buy a gift for somebody, you give to the cause of God or to somebody in need. That's humble love. It's easy to be callous. It's easy to say, I'm not going to do that. Another thing, to not stand on your rights, but to rather be less. We're not called to stand on our rights. We're called to trust in God. Rather trust in God to promote. Another area, obeying God even when it hurts and it doesn't make sense to just obey him. God, I'm going to follow you even when it hurts. That's humble love. That's trust in a good God. John the Baptist said, I'm going to become less. I must become less so that he can become more. And so his head got chopped off. This is a good prayer to pray, especially if you're in a Muslim country where they chop off heads. That's a great prayer to pray. That's a joke. Okay. Another area, giving benefit of the doubt, giving others the benefit of the doubt. Don't assume somebody meant it for wrong. Give somebody the benefit of the doubt. Assume they were upright, that their motivation was right. Don't assume that they were trying to hurt you, be against you. Another area, choosing to believe in somebody that irritates the life out of you. To believe in them and to say, I believe you are a blessing. I believe God has a good plan for you. I believe there is good in you. To believe in somebody. Another area, choosing to not be negative, not to gossip, not to criticize. It's humble love. Is it easy to criticize? Yo, it comes out quickly, eh? It's so easy. Humble love, say, oh, it feels like I'm dying. Hold your mouth. Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. I don't know if you guys battle with it sometimes, but when I was younger especially, yo, I battled to not say certain things that I knew I should not be saying. I'm better, eh? Yes. It's my wife rubbing off on me. She hardly ever speaks something that she was not supposed to say. It's amazing. But humble love positions ourselves in a place where God can promote. Humble love positions ourselves in a place where God can open doors for us. Over this past weekend, I felt God say to me, the more you love, the more I can trust you with my power. But if we don't have a humble love, God cannot trust us with his power. The tornado of his presence will just destroy. But if we are soaked, covered in humble love, if we live it, if it is us, then God can bring his fullness. Then God can bring his fullness. The more you love, the more I can trust you with my power. Do you know what happens when you and I live humble love? The devil fears us. Evil fears us. God spoke to me, said, enemy's terrified of you. Terrified of you. Love just completely, evil doesn't know what to do with love. You can hurt me, I'm not going to hate you. Sorry. You can hurt me, I'm not going to be bitter and angry. I'm just going to forgive you. You become untouchable. The devil doesn't know what to do with love. I read through the book of Job recently. Yo, spoke to me. And this is where I think where the word that Ravon brought really spoke to me. Job chapter 25, verse 4 to 6. To give you some background, Job was a righteous man. The devil came to God and God said, have you seen my servant Jacob, Job? Have you seen? He's upright. There's none like him. He's a blameless man. Have you seen? God was like boasting. And then the devil says, but let me do some bad stuff to him and see how he's going to curse you. He's just like that because you're blessing him and you're protecting him. And so God says, okay, fine. Do to him what you please, just don't kill him. And so Job goes through hell. I mean, if you and I would look at it, we would basically say, this guy must have massive sin in his life because everything's going wrong. And so his friends come. The first week they just sit with him and they don't say a word because, I mean, he's got sores all over his body. He's lost his 10 children all at once. He has lost his 5,000 cattle and that and his house is burned down. I mean, it's hell. His wife tells him, curse God and die. Thank you, honey. That's so encouraging. And yet it says Job does not curse God. And now his friends are there. And they each, now they have this theological argument. They're all trying to show Job that you must be in sin because all this bad stuff cannot be happened to a godly man. But sometimes bad stuff happens to godly people. Our God is good. Now look at this verse. Verse 46, Job 25. And this is the religious spirit speaking. This is Bildad. This friend of Job, he was religious. He didn't understand God or the goodness of God or the love of God. Then he says, how then can man be righteous before God? Or how can he be pure who is born of a woman? If even the moon does not shine and the stars are not pure in his sight, how much less man who is a maggot and a son of man who is a worm? Now, you see, you and I hear that voice when we have sinned or when we don't feel so good or when we've made mistakes and the religious spirit comes, you're a maggot, you're a worm, you're a nothing, you're a... amazing question. How can man be righteous? Means how can God stand, how can a man be, stand before almighty, glorious, holy God? In a certain sense, it's all true. But it's not true. When we come to the cross and when we come to the love of God. Later on, God actually rebukes these friends and says, you missed it completely. You don't understand my love. You see, mankind, people, you and me, we are God's greatest treasure. He loves us more than words can describe. The Son of God would not go through that pain and suffering and die with that shame and humiliation on a cross naked if you and I were just a maggot and a worm. You and I, we are his greatest treasure. He loves us. He is passionate about us. He has proven it to us. He is good. He is good. He is good and he loves you. Let it soak into your heart. Let it cover your whole being that he loves you. God is good and he's in a good mood. He's in a good mood. Even if you have messed up, this will transform us if we really truly understand this. Jesus' humble love showed this to us. And you and I, we're called to love in the same way. He's called us to understand his love for us and then understand his love for other people. To understand how much he loves. Psalm 8, verse 4 to 5. I'm almost finished. Just one more verse after this. Beautiful psalm. What is man? What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? God wants to visit us, people. He wants to visit us. He wants to visit us. He wants to come and stay with us. He wants to come and fill our hearts, fill our homes, fill our lives. What is man that you are mindful of him? God, what is it that your thoughts are full of us the whole time? What is it about us that you just want to be with us the whole time? What is it, God? What is it? It's love. It's love. It's love. It's love. It's love that you and I don't understand. It's love that your mind cannot get a grip on. It's passionate love. And I think this is where the furious love comes in. Our God is humble love. But there's a side of him that says, I will do whatever it takes, but I want my kids home. I'll do whatever it takes, but I want to set people free from darkness and blindness. Whatever it takes. That's the furious love. The furious love. The furious love that he wants to come and put inside you and me. And he says, are you willing to do whatever it takes? Are you willing to do whatever it takes? You see, when the furious love grips our hearts, we'll go through our cross. We'll go through our challenges. But we have our prize. God, I want to see people know your love. God, I want to see people know your goodness. God, whatever it takes, let your furious love empower me, empower us to live a different life. You see, for most of us, we don't understand that furious love. For most of us, we don't understand how passionate God is. But as a dad, I can taste a little bit of it. When I think of somebody or something doing something to my boy, I'll rip you apart. I'll say sorry later. You don't touch my boy. You know, that's the love of the Father. That's the love of our God. And that's how I feel towards you and me. And I think that's when the lion arises. He wants to roar. People, our God wants to roar. He wants to arise, but he cannot arise as the lion unless you and I become the lambs. Humble, humble love. Humble love. Humble love. But I guarantee you, when you experience the furious love of God, it'll get you out of your passivity. It will get you out of your selfishness. It will get you out of just going through the motions. When you experience that love, I mean, if it's for your own child, you leave everything. And you'll do whatever it takes to save your child. And God is wanting to bring that furious love into your heart and my heart. That we will look at our friends and our family and this community and the whole Eastern Cape and say, God, we want it. We want that love to be revealed. Furious, a furious love. What is man that you are mindful of him? He loves us. 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 He passionately loves us. You could have done the worst sin. I tell you, God is right there next door to you, next to you, and he's saying, come, my boy, get up. Let's go. I'm for you. I'm not against you. Let me help you. Let me help you. Arise. Romans 8, verse 35 to 37. Ending off with this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? What can separate us from his love? The answer is obviously nothing. But then it says in verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Humble love, Jesus love. A people that are different. Feel like you're dying, but actually, for your sake, God, I'm giving you glory. For your sake. And then verse 37. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, that verse we like. We like verse 37. We don't like verse 36. But verse 37 says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You see the empowerment that love through him who loved us? This empowering love? This empowering love that causes the lion to arise in us. We are more than conquerors. Do you know what that word more than conquerors, what that means? It means the one who is super victorious, who wins more than an ordinary victory, but who is overpowering in achieving abundant victory. It's the tornado of his presence. But the way to that is becoming the lamb. And I don't really understand exactly what that means. But you can go pray about it. But to become humble love. To become less so that God can become more. Humble love opens the door to the fullness of God. I want it. I want the fullness of God. I want people who are bound in chains, in prison, suffering, confused, broken, restored. But I know that when I say that at the same moment, there's a challenge. Okay, you want that. Are you willing to walk the walk? Are you willing to live the life? Are you willing? Are you willing? I posted something on Facebook. I'd like to repeat here. It's a lie to think you can rest outside of God. Jesus said, "All you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest." This holiday time, rest in Him. Rest in Him. Don't be deceived to think 20 movies and whatever else is going to bring you rest. Rest in Him. Make time for Him. Say to Him, "God, I want to be part of a generation that become like lambs. Because you are good and we trust you and we know we can walk this road. And then let you cause us to arise as lions." Arise as lions. Humble love. And I want to pray for us. Yes, Lord. Your amazing love, God. Your amazing love, God. Come and break shackles in our hearts, in our lives, God. Come and set us free from condemnation, God. Come set us free from accusations, Lord. Come set us free from even self-inflicted accusations, God, and self-hatred. God, come and set your people free. May we know how much you love us, Lord. And may that love transform us. Hallelujah. Jesus, we thank you for the body of Christ. We thank you for your body that was broken for us, Lord. Your love has been proven. Your love is amazing. Your love is overwhelming. God, let your love flood our lives. Lord Jesus, you became the sacrificial lamb. May we also become humble love. May we live it, God. May we live it. Humble love. Sacrificial love. Because we know you are good and you are able and faithful. And you will arise, cause us to arise. You will exalt. You will pour out your favor upon us. God, as we walk the road you've set before us. Thank you for your body that was broken. We receive humble love. In Jesus' name. Just take a moment to just thank God in your own words for His humble love. Ask Him to fill you with it. Jesus, thank you for loving us so much that you went through with it. You did it. You opened the way for all of us. Thank you, Jesus. We receive. Let's eat together. God, we thank you that as your love for us amazes us, as your love for us transforms us and heals us. At the same moment, God, I thank you for a furious love. God, a holy anger in the inside of us for seeing so many people far from Christ. A holy anger that says enough is enough. A holy anger that says my God shall arise. Here I am, Lord. Here we are, God. Let your love arise in us with fury towards evil, towards darkness, but love for people. And so God, I pray for something to shift on the inside of us, God, that we will no longer be passive. God, that we will no longer settle for a mediocre existence, a powerless existence. God, may something inside of us start crying out for a tornado of your presence, an awakening, a revival. God, we desire all of you. We desire all of you. We want to be like lions that arise. And I pray for this shift inside of us, God. A determination that we want more of God. We want all of God. Just pray in your own words. Make yourself available to become a lion. Just speak to God and say, Lord, I want all of you for the sake of the broken and the wounded and the lost. God, we celebrate your grace, we celebrate your goodness, we celebrate that we will become more than conquerors, super victorious. And Lord, we bring before you this next 3 weeks, this next month, and we thank you for supernatural protection over every person in this house, every member of this church, God. Thank you for your protection on the roads. We thank you, God. We declare the blood of Christ over your people, over our hearts, over our minds, over our thoughts. We thank you for protection on the roads. We thank you for your blessing on our children and protection. And God, I pray that we will not be passive. We'll be resting, but we'll be resting in Christ. God, we thank you for that. We receive the victory of the cross. In Jesus' name, let's drink together. Thank you, Lord. God, we declare that we love you. And we have an expectation over the next 3 weeks, God, to meet with you in our devotional times, just in living life, God. Thank you, God, that we will see you. See you and fall in love with you all over again. Thank you, God. Our eyes are closed just for a moment. I just want to respond to what I feel in the spirit. If you feel easily condemned, or you often feel like you're a worm, if you just raise your hand. I'm not going to call you forward. I just want to quickly pray for you. Just raise your hand. Just a sign to the Lord. Just raise your hand. Just a sign to the Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Father, we pray for those who've raised their hands, Lord. I pray for a revelation of how good you are. I pray for a revelation for each of them, God. How overwhelming the victory on the cross was. That you have made us righteous by your blood. Not by our works, but by your blood. God, give us a revelation of how much you love us. And that you're for us. In Jesus' name. Father, we speak to every accusing voice. We speak to every condemnation. We speak to every religious spirit. And we say, leave in Jesus' name. And may the void be filled with the word of Christ, the love of God, and the goodness of God. Lord, we declare it, you're in a good mood. And you love us. Thank you. Jesus, we celebrate that. We say, let your kingdom come in us. In Jesus' name. Amen.